Hello and welcome to another episode of the 3-Bid League podcast. As always, I'm Tyler, joined by Matt. And welcome to our post-A10 tournament podcast. We're joined by the guys over at SBU Unfurled and Friends, a great St. Bonaventure podcast, SBU Unfurled and Bona Commenter.
We're more than a podcast now. We are just a multi-platform streaming service of just all kinds of content. We got articles, we got podcasts, we're dabbling in esports now.
We're in artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
We are, we're currently building a high speed rail as well from one A10 city to the other. We're getting into engineering. And it's only us two.
Yeah. And you guys did something remarkable. Somehow you stole the A10 tournament TV rights away from CBS and broadcasted the whole thing on Bona Commenter's YouTube page.
And NBC, which, yeah, that YouTube page, by the way, has nothing else on it but that. Like, if you had told me at the start of, I forgot when exactly we learned about coronavirus, it was probably around the start of A10s, but if you had told me maybe at the start of the season, the season's going to end with you becoming a streamer of 20,000 people on YouTube of video games, and there's going to be no season because of something called the coronavirus, I'd be like, okay, get this dumb, drunk, bonus freshman out of my face. Like, how did this happen? This weird dystopia we're in, where we're just watching me, like, somehow rig, like, my phone and a second laptop to play CBS sports music on it. Like, how is this our dystopia that we live in now? But, hey, this is how we got to get our A10 fixed, because a pandemic is not going to stop the Bonnies from enjoying A10s.
All right. So
you were also the first one to say it was going to get canceled.
Unfortunately, I did. Yeah. After the LaSalle game, I did change my Twitter Twitter brand to coronavirus will cancel A10s. That was on February 29th. I'm sorry, everyone.
Soothsayer.
That was unfortunately, I was right about that.
We made a song about it too before anyone knew.
Yeah. You can on Unfurled's YouTube page. You can go listen to the song Miami 2057, Seeing the Lights Go Out on Flatbush, a heartfelt tribute to Billy Joel's Miami 2017. We sang about what we will be telling generations about this 2020 lack of A10 tournament that only had two games. By the way, congratulations to Fordham on winning the real tournament.
That's true. Last game of the year goes to Fordham. I think this is the only way that could possibly happen, just a global pandemic pretty much grinding the sports world to a halt. But yeah,
it's the only possible way Fordham could have possibly won the last game of the A10 tourney.
Exactly.
Next year Mason and Fordham are going to play for the second Corona Cup championship, because those are the only two teams to win an actual game in the A10 tournament this year.
I think we got to make some kind of trophy for that game next year, which is like one of those margaritas that has the Corona in it upside down, and make that like the trophy for whoever wins the Mason Fordham game next year.
Yeah. We need to do it on a neutral court too. We have to think of a nice neutral atmosphere for them to do it in.
Well, I just saw the CDC is recommending that nobody gather in groups of more than 50 people for the next few weeks or so. So, I mean, I guess Rose Hill Gym is still open for people if you all want to watch some basketball there.
I mean, honestly, I've seen some Mason games on TV. That might not be a problem for them either. I mean,
to be fair, Mason has a huge arena, like 10,000 people.
Well, yeah, it's easy for them. They can spread out. It doesn't matter. So
that is a great place for some social distancing.
That's got to be the safest arena in the A10 to watch a basketball game right now. So
Mason invented social distancing by having like one person in each row.
All right.
Well, by the way, if we're going to put this in a neutral site, let's go in the middle geographically and throw it in longtime A10 favorite Boardwalk Hall.
Oh, okay. All right. Which, that could be a possibility.
That also happened to be, I think, wasn't the MAAC the last conference to cancel the tournament, which took place in Atlantic City? There's just something about that building, I guess. I mean, we all know the history. We had the A10s there for a long time, and it's still going strong over there.
See, we tried to close out Boardwalk Hall with the 2012 title, and you know, the MAC was just trying to steal our style, and it didn't work. I don't know if Boardwalk Hall's had a tournament since, but if they haven't yet, then I guess that's that's fate's way of saying the Bonnies own Atlantic City once and for all.
I guess so. All right. So We didn't get to see too much. All we got was the Wednesday night pillow fight, aka the Corona Classic, before things got shut down at the Barclays Center. But I think we need to talk a little bit more about your guys' 2K tournament where you simulated the Thursday through Sunday games. So I guess just to start it off, I think a lot of people that listen to this probably are at least a little bit aware of this stream you guys had, because it kind of blew up everywhere. I mean, you guys were getting hundreds of viewers at a time. But
we peaked at around 500 at the end of the VCU Dayton game.
Which is just, it's incredible. So I think to start it off, do you guys just want to talk a little bit about the background of that? What sort of inspired you to get this going?
Well, there was a moment over the summer. I don't remember if it was June or July, but it was just a beautiful weeknight, and I'm looking outside. The birds are chirping. The sky is blue. It's sunny out, and I'm in my apartment, looking up Salt Lake Community College highlights, just try to find what Josh Colon's shooting form looks like, Fordham's point guard. And I stopped and took a few deep breaths, and I really, really reevaluated my life that night, wondering if it was all worth it. Why the hell am I doing this? This is going to get downloaded by like 20 people. I'm completely wasting my time. I'm a maniac, a loser. And you know, to see it all come to fruition this weekend was really exciting, because I put a lot of work into it. And, you know, Bonna Commenter and I also put a ton of work into the season and into the A10 tournament, doing the podcast that we did that Bonna Commenter can talk about, visual previews, write-ups. And then it seemed like that was all just wasted time once the tournament was canceled. So to be able to have, you know, our hard work that we did a while back come to fruition and have people enjoy it was really cool.
It was kind of a perfect storm of having everybody at home on a weekend when nobody really wanted to be at home. Everybody wanted to be in Brooklyn. Like, honestly, the thought into this was just me waking up, I think Friday morning or something, just like, you know what, let's just play A10s like on 2K. Now we had issues because the rosters weren't completely up to date. I know like Unfurled probably had like Trey Mitchell like 10 like 8 points lower than he had to be, because Trey Mitchell just came out of nowhere, and like Bones Highland was very underrated too at the beginning, so we had to do some overhauls there. Unfortunately, upset a few Mason fans, and UMass fans, they got a second chance, but they actually lost by even more, even though I gave them a whole bunch of boosts in their ratings. But but anyways, like, yeah, we weren't really expecting too much attention outside of our typical A10 Twitter sphere, but I guess a Barstool Twitter account, I guess, picked it up. And so we're not really that big in the Barstool scene, even though I'm named after somebody who now works for Barstool. But that basically made it spread all across to, like, we had a bunch of fans from SEC and Big 12 schools being like, hey, you guys gonna do this tournament, my tournament? And I'm like, dude, we're like Billy Joel's the Billy Joel cover band in Step Brothers. We only play A10 basketball. We only play A10 basketball. No other requests. And because, yeah. I mean, it's a lot, as Unfurled can tell you, because that's how I first really started talking to Unfurled about stuff. Like, I bought 2K19 for like $20 after he made the rosters. And then I was like, dude, I'm so appreciative of this. I donated like $15 to the to his Venmo on the website. And that, and since then it was just you know, we just kept doing more stuff. But yeah, we had a lot of people in and out from, I would say, around noon on Saturday to 1:30, and we saved the best for last on Saturday night. I know you guys were watching the Rhode Island Davidson game, right?
Yeah, best game of the night, with John Axel hitting the clutch three, probably the biggest shot of the tournament to send that to overtime.
Jag hit a tremendous three at the top of the key to push overtime, like you said, 4 seconds left. It was amazing. Like, that was awesome. But Davidson just worked too hard to get back into that game. They used too much energy, and Rhode Island ended up winning by 12 at overtime.
During that game, I had people DMing me, texting me, sending me videos, house parties at Bonham's, full house parties, streaming the tournament, drinking, cheering on, like, doing the little hands up in the air with the fingers when Kyle Lofton was at the free throw line, high-fiving each other. Probably shouldn't be doing that right now. But
yeah, I was going to say, I'm like, this is the one time I don't want our stuff being consumed in, like, big house parties and stuff. Like, I
my
want
other friend was like, my 50-year-old dad's, like, drinking beer, sitting here watching, yelling at the TV. I had so many people saying, like, I can't believe how into this I'm getting. There was a huge thread on Rhode Island's message board. Oh,
the VCU the VCU board. I didn't tweet it. The VCU board had 100 posts in that in their live thread. Because they were all, hey, I mean, that's the closest VCU is going to get to beating Dayton, at least until next season.
God, I was legitimately excited when you guys sent us a message and said, hey, Dayton's going to be on at 5 o'clock. I'm like, all right. Because to say the least, I mean, this week, as a Dayton fan, like, I can speak for everyone.
Oh.
It's been rough. And I
have
I don't
you seen that video of the one that Dan Patrick narrated?
Yeah, I just saw that about an hour ago. And
if you all haven't seen it, Dayton's Twitter account, the Dayton basketball Twitter account, which, by the way, has been absolutely crushing it this year.
It has.
Dayton's Twitter is incredible this year. They definitely put in a 1C performance on their social media. But anyways, like, they made a really cool video narrated by Dan Patrick, who's a Dayton alum. Mm-hmm. And that was it was really poignant. I'm like, you know what? In my heart, Dayton won the national championship, guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a tough couple days for all of us. And I mean, I think watching this tournament helped me get over it a little bit. But I was legitimately excited, like, all right, I'm going to get to watch Dayton. It's not the real thing, but it'll still be pretty cool. And then we lose to VCU, and I'm like, yep, that's about right. It doesn't matter how good Dayton is. I mean, we've lost as the one seed in the quarterfinals before, like, whether it's Jack Gibbs going off for 30 points or Obi getting injured in the first half last year against St. Louis or a pandemic taking us down. Like, Dayton just cannot get it done in the A-10 tournament. Even when it's a video game, it's just insane.
Honestly, this is probably more memorable than, like, if you guys had, you know, maybe you won A-10s and then you fizzled out maybe in the Sweet 16 or round of 32, get knocked off by an 8 seed or something. Like, you're going to remember, people will remember this Dayton team forever because this is the team that got its, you know, it sucks. You got your hearts, you know, broken because of a pandemic. Like, that's not something that happens very often. And, like, It sucks that this is the kind of way you have to cope with it, but, like, we're all going to remember the Dayton team forever. Like, I still can't remember sometimes. I'm like, wait, GW went undefeated. Was that 06, 07, 08? Like, you don't really quite remember those. Like you will always remember, like, oh, the 2020 Dayton team. That was the one that was probably going to at least go to the Elite Eight.
Yeah, 30, 40, 50 years from now, people are going to look back and the one thing they're going to remember from this Dayton season is Bones Highland hitting a half-court shot against them in our 2K stream.
I got to say one thing about that Dayton VCU game too, because people were always being like, oh my God, this is just rigged, blah, blah, blah. Dude, if I wanted to rig it, I would have wanted UMass to beat Dayton, not VCU. I don't want VCU to win.
Yeah.
No.
Kidding me? We don't want VCU. But hey, shout out to almost all the VCU fans, except one in particular we all know who was definitely giving us shit. Wait, can I swear on this?
Yeah, go for it, man.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, I know. I don't know if you guys – I won't – not too much. Sorry. Anyways, no, but we were – most of the VCU fans were very chill last night. They appreciated it. Shout out to Pav. Pav loved us, too. He was wow, I actually like two Bonnie's fans now. I'm like, yeah, thank you. Now stop saying LOL lean jokes.
Santos Silva and Bones Highland showed up in the – they were watching the – that was a game against Bonnie's, I think.
Oh, man, Oshun – the Oshunis were all over the place. Like, not even just Oshun himself. Like, his, like, siblings were in there and everything.
They're the best.
Like, oh, my God. It was crazy. Like, it was great, too, just seeing, like, Oshun and Amadi Ikpeezy going back and forth with a couple of VCU fans during the VCU game in the chat.
Oshun's unbridled enthusiasm for St. Bonaventure in basketball is it's so great. I love him more and more every season.
And honestly, I
wanted to go to this next anyway. Tons of players got involved in the chat. If you made a team out of the guys who got themselves involved in this and were actively watching, what would their A-10 record have been this year?
Ooh, I think they could possibly challenge for a double bye because we had Javon Green, we had Oshuni, we had Santo Silva.
Big dog.
Who else do we have? Big dog,
Bones Highland.
Oh, Bones is in there?
It would be Bones Highland at point, Javon Green at shooting guard, Dom Welch at small forward. Then you would have Santos Silva at power forward and Oshun in the middle. I think they would have been, if not, I mean, I don't want to say they would be the best team this year, but most years it would have been the best team in the league.
That feels like a very St. Louis lineup, kind of.
That team wins 13 or 14 A-10 games, probably.
Yeah.
But I just want to say, too, the sound effects. You guys did a great job. We had the CBS theme cranking every single timeout during the championship today. And I got to say, the best moment, I think, of the entire tournament, I lost it when you played the VCU chant during one of their timeouts.
I told him, like, don't say I didn't do anything nice for you guys at VCU. Come on. You have a Bona fan playing. You don't want to go to war with the Rams. I mean, that's ridiculous. But, yeah, I didn't want to touch the controller once during the game except, like, to show some stats at halftime and stuff. I played the whole, you know, all the sequencing, the dramatic, the cutaways during the free throws, the Mark Schmidt and David Cox staring down their players, all those different angles. And, yeah, during the timeouts, I – you know, muted the TV. We had two laptops here, like one just so I could follow the stream, and then my other older laptop here, fortunately, was able to actually pipe in the CBS music because I was on the phone with Unfurled because I was playing the music on my phone on Saturday, but on Sunday I had to call Unfurled so he could do his live commentary. And then Matt, you were on through PS4.
Yeah, the sideline reporter. That was an interesting arrangement we had. Yeah, that was
fun. There was one scene in like the first or second quarter where since I had to mute the TV while we were playing the music, like you couldn't be heard. Mm-hmm. But I unmuted right after a timeout, and you came in perfectly with "I just talked to the Rhode Island sideline." Blah. I forgot what you said. I'm like, oh my god, we couldn't have scripted this any better than what just happened. Yeah. So thank you so much, Matt.
Man, it was tough to get everything set up, but once we got it rolling, that was decent production for an NBA 2K mid-major tournament stream. That's pretty good stuff, I think.
It was tough to provide color commentary because my feed was on a delay, so I had to wait and see what actually happened. So that was tough. But the little things like the custom band music, and that made me really miss a real college basketball video game, because the NBA, mm-hmm. it's fun, but it's in this, and it's in the corporate NBA format. You're in huge arenas. There's no bands. There's no mascots. There's no selection show. We did as much as we could with what we had, and it turned out really well, but I can't wait for hopefully down the road some real NCAA video games.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah, I sure hope so, but and I think everybody hopes so, but just I think we should move on to the final. So unfortunately, you guys weren't able to pull out the win and get the auto bid to the tournament that won't happen.
Back-to-back A-10 final losses. It's really tough, man. This is dark days right now.
But Rhode Island, the 3 seed, they've struggled the last couple weeks of the season, but they just rolled through the A-10 tournament on 2K. So they are our champions. I don't know if you guys have anything you want to add on top of that game that we had this afternoon.
It's definitely A-10 canon now. Rhode Island, they have won in 2017. They lost in 2018, and now they're back as champions. So they have 3 championship appearances in 4 years and 2 titles to show for it. David Cox definitely showing that he's turned the program around post Danny Hurley. He definitely had a great strategy of using Langevin a little bit more down low, especially in the end of the game, because Fats Russell went off for 13 points in the third quarter. Unfortunately, we had to play quarters because it is 2K after all. Mm-hmm. It's NBA. But other than the 13 points Fats put up in the third quarter, he had nothing. So it was really up to like Langevin and Doughton, especially in the end of the game, to get by us.
It's so funny at halftime, like Rhodey's up 4, and we did a little bit of an extended halftime just to show stats and build the drama. And you look in the chat replay and Ocean's like, we just need to relax. It's a good half, guys. Just got to relax. Other people are like, we got a lot of time left. We're good. Rhodey fans are like, Fats will wake up soon. Just got to get Fats going here. Maybe set a few more screens for him. Like, it was so funny how into it people were getting.
It's honestly not too different from what actually happened in real life, other than we were up for most of the first half against Rhode Island in real life. Mm-hmm. But then Fats, I think Fats only had like a few points in the first half at the Riley Center in January, but then he went off in the second half and that sunk us, but that basically happened again, except Rhode Island had a little more of a lead in the first half, of course. But other than that, yeah, it was, you know, it was kind of disheartening. little bit less stressful because I know some people are going to be like, oh, you guys rigged this for the Bonnies to win. And I'm like, can I not root for the Bonnies now? Because if we win, then I'm in a no-win situation here, because if we win, everybody's going to be like, oh, you just rigged it. And if we lose, it's like, well, the Bonnies lost. So, by the way, shout out to Matunik Oyster Bar in Wakefield, Rhode Island. we were shouting out random Olean area businesses that are both existing and non-existing as sponsors during the game, and I'm like, let's get some Rhode Island ones involved. And someone was like, Matunik Oyster Bar. I think I mispronounced it like Matunik or something, because it's one of those weird New England town names that's like really weird and hard to spell. But they're like, no, it's Matunik. You're saying it wrong. I'm like, dude, tell me how to say it. I don't know where this place is. So shout out to Matunik Oyster Bar and all the Roadie fans listening. I'm definitely a fan of oysters.
Yes. So we wouldn't be doing our journalistic job if we didn't have you guys address the controversy of what happened with Friday night's games, because this is the most fired up Zach Miller from House That Rick Built has been since he was fully convinced that the refs made LaSalle make the game into overtime against SLU at the end of January.
We were accidentally using some of the preseason rosters. Like I think we had some like Kyer checked in. I think even Ian Boyd might have scored a point or so. And we were just like, we kind of put it all together pretty quickly at the beginning. I got home from work and like within 5 minutes I was streaming it. Like, and I had never streamed anything like off PS4 before, so it was all very kind of hastily put together. So we did have a way more finished product on Saturday. I did give AJ Wilson like, I want to say he was like a 68, maybe a 69 nice. And he was probably like, I think a 75, 76 pop, probably something like that. I had to bump him up because AJ Wilson was another guy who, I forgot, was he your most improved player in the rankings or somebody else? Yeah,
I think he was, or are you guys talking about 2K? Cause I know he was actually the most improved player in the like A-10 awards this year.
That's what I was saying, in your yeah.
conference
awards.
And media.
Yeah, both. For both. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. So that makes sense. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Him and Trey Mitchell were like two of the ones we had to give almost like 10 points to.
Yeah. But overall, I mean, I just say like, obviously this weekend didn't turn out as we expected, but I think this was, I think you guys made the most of it, and it made a lot of A-10 fans happy. So are you still planning on putting these games individually on YouTube in case anyone missed them?
They are up on YouTube. I know Unfurled and I have tweeted out the live links a million times. I'm in the process.
I'm watching one right now, actually.
Which one?
The championship. I just finished the VCU game.
Okay. Let's see. Yep, my file just finished going on Google Drive because I'm in the process of there's a 12 gigabyte two file situation here with these 14 hours of games that were streamed. We'll be chopping those up. If you don't want to like scrub through the whole thing, we'll figure out. We'll have some interesting highlights. Probably a one shining moment video is coming here. Yeah. And we got it. We have some definitely some big highlights. We got the Jag Goodmanson's three pointer to force OT. We got the Bones half quarter. And then, of course, we can't be remiss without mentioning the upset of the tournament. 14 seed Fordham, after beating Mayhem and GW, taking down Duquesne. That was incredible.
That might have saved Neubauer's job, winning two games in Brooklyn. That's huge.
Yeah.
When's the last time Fordham did that? Probably never.
I lost money on that game.
Dude, I told you. I was like, Fordham 5.5. That's the sharp play. All the squares were on Duquesne there. I'm like, no. Weird things happen in the Barclays Center.
Did you make Neubauer's character shirtless?
We wish we could.
Yeah. If I had PC, nice. I could be able to probably mod that in, but I don't know how to do that. I would have.
Yeah, if anybody here listening wants to do any of the 2K college stuff, first off, you need 2K19, and you need it for PS4. And if you go on sbunfurled.com, Unfurled wrote up a whole article that really explains it pretty well, how you can basically set it up. It takes a lot of preset work to do at first, but once you have it all in your system and you're on your PlayStation, it's really just a lot of plug and play. And you can have the Bonnies play Dayton. You can have St. Francis, Pennsylvania play Syracuse. You can have Fordham play the all-time Wizards if you want. Like, who knows what you want? It's all up to you.
Yeah, it's just, it's crazy. And the uniforms and courts, I mean, everything looks really authentic. I mean, it looks like it came straight out of one of the old college hoops basketball game. So
the courts aren't that hard to do, but it's the uniforms. Like Unfurled especially was like the one who did all the uniforms for the A-10 teams anyways. I did them for all the Bonnies at a conference games. So if you want to play as Gannon University in Erie or Mercer, then you can also do that on our game. But yeah, on the uniforms are incredibly hard to do because there's a lot of minor details and piping on the sides and things that you got to do. Right, Unfurled?
Yeah, and you have to kind of, in most of them, like with Rhodey and the St. Bonaventure, the ones we saw today, you have to design them on the computer. So you have to know how to do that. And then you upload it onto your computer, onto 2K's server. And then you, in the game, you put them on the uniforms. Yeah, so there's a few more steps that you have to go into with the uniforms and some aspects of the court, like the center court logo and stuff like that. So those do take a little bit of time.
Yeah, and on the stuff that we do, Unfurled's definitely more of the graphic design, where I'm more of like the audio visual, like video guy for the stuff. So our pairing works, where we're both like really good at the stuff that we're good at, and we're really bad at the stuff that we're bad at. Like,
yeah.
Do not ask me to open up Photoshop. That's going to be bad. I can edit stuff and paint. That's about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's impressive. Anyone with a PS4 and NBA 2K19, I mean, probably by now you can pick it up cheap. So,
oh god, I got it for $20. And yeah, that was in August. Like, it's probably like $15 maybe now.
Yeah, so I mean, anyone with a PS4 should definitely check that out. It'll help get you through the summer.
You guys got
time.
Yeah. You got time. You probably got a month or so. So, I mean, that's how we're going to be killing this time here. And if anybody else wants a live stream, if anybody's upset, like, oh my God, how come you had Richmond lose by 30? Oh my God, this is bull. I don't like this. It's like, you stream, I will happily share it and watch. I would love to watch this again, but actually like enjoy it and not just like run around with three screens and a Bluetooth speaker and running to Walmart in the middle of Fordham Duquesne. Like, I would actually like to watch a stream by somebody else. If you guys, anybody wants to do it, please have fun.
If anyone wants to spend their beautiful summer nights creating Matt Grace, go ahead and go for it. And then tell me when your stream's up.
You know, before we know it, we're going to have to do the next year's roster. We're going to need guys like Jalen Attaway. Who are some other big recruits for all across the A-10 that we're getting?
Yeah, we'll have to do that. I can, like, this year, this is what I'm planning on. This is why it was on 2K19. 2K20, just, it comes out in like September, and I just wouldn't have had the time to get all of these rosters out by November. And honestly, when it comes down to it, the create a player mode in 2K19 and 2K20 is exactly the same. All of the courts are the same. Like, NBA 2K20 is pretty much the same as NBA 2K19.
As somebody who bought both FIFA 19 and FIFA 20, just missing out on 1 year is not a big deal. Like, it's the same game. It's just, you know, updated rosters. And when you're playing with college rosters that you're going to modify yourself, what's the difference? It's all the same graphics. It's all 1080. Like, I know we broadcasted at 720. So it was, someone's like, oh, this feels like we're right on home in a stadium with the 720 broadcast. I'm like, yeah, you're right. By the way, Matt Martucci, I saw, did favorite your tweet.
Nice. Yeah, that's all we were missing was Tooch and Dr. John. But I think you guys did a great job calling the championship, though.
I would have happily have stepped aside for Tooch to call the game. I guess it would have been hard with the delay, but I would have loved to have had Tooch come in and give some words of wisdom.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right. So I guess anything else you guys want to add before we, I think Tyler, you wanted to talk about a real St. Bonaventure player, but anything else we want to add on to the 2K tournament extravaganza?
We've had enough of parading around our 2K content for the weekend. Like, our Twitters are just on fire right now. We can stop talking about ourselves. We can give some love to something else here. We've done enough self-promotion for one weekend, I think.
No, you guys deserve it. It was fun.
So we got two topics that needed to be covered this week, even before the tournament got canceled. We'll go back to the A10 awards in a second.
It didn't get canceled.
Before it got moved. Haven't you been paying attention? Postponed to Saturday.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I get what you mean.
We'll edit that out.
Okay.
So, does anyone understand how award-winning author John Feinstein ended up calling the pillow fight games? Because I still don't understand this.
He's called some games before. I think he might have actually called the pillow fight last year. Yeah, I don't. I think he just loves college basketball so much. I think he's done a thing because he has, what's his book called? Is it The Book of Basketball or is that Bill Simmons? I forgot.
That's Simmons.
He has John Feinstein has another like really famous book that I'd never read that I'm forgetting the name of. But he like makes a point to go out to like, I think like every like tournament or like every conference at some point during the season or something like that. He does something where he tries to visit like all the conferences or all the teams or something like that. And yeah, he's just really engrossed in even the mid-major stuff. Cause I think he usually puts like one mid-major in his top 25 a week.
He voted for Duquesne several weeks this year, didn't he, Tyler?
Yep. Really?
So, yeah. Back when they were like 9-0 at the beginning. Oh, yeah. That was Duquesne's one vote for a while.
But I think he was the Bonnie's one vote for a while back in 2018.
Probably.
I think it was. Yeah. Believe so.
Gosh, John Feinstein, I mean, he's a smart guy. He's got, I've read a couple of his books. I mean, for different sports, he does a great job. But I just got to say, when I listened to the Pillow Fight games on Wednesday, he had a couple just terrible takes. Like, he mentioned that Jeff Neubauer is one of the best coaches in the A-10, but he was dealt a tough hand with Fordham. And then I guess I have to agree with because we're A-10 homers, but he said that the A-10 and Pac-12 were pretty much equal, and he couldn't understand how the Pac-12 was getting 7 bids. And it's like, come on. I mean, we all think the Pac-12 sucks, but it's not on the same level. Or the A-10's not on the same level in any way.
Not this year. I would have said the year 2018 when we beat UCLA. That was a weak year for the Pac-12.
Yeah, that was.
We might have been better than them that year. By the way, Feinstein's book is A Season on the Brink. It was actually made into a movie.
Okay.
Yeah,
he's got a lot of good stuff out there.
It was about the Indiana basketball team under Bob Knight.
I was about to plug a different Feinstein book, The Last Amateurs, one of the first great sports books I ever read. It's him just following around the Patriot League for a season.
Oh, that's what I was thinking of. Yeah, I've heard of that. I think that's what I was alluding to when I'm like, oh, he goes to all these tournaments or something. That's what it is. Yeah, he followed the Patriot League for a year.
Well, when Adonna Foyle was at Colgate.
I don't know much about the Patriot League other than that Fordham probably should be there.
I think Fordham used to be in the Patriot
League. They were, right? Yeah.
So maybe that's why he's trying to give Fordham a little bit of credit there, I guess.
Yeah, but hey, now they beat Duquesne, so you know what? They're looking up, you know?
Building momentum going into next year. That's something to think about for those guys.
Actual topic that we were going to have to take down this weekend. So Kyle Lofton finishes presumably in the sixth spot of the six-man first team, all A-10 team, after not even getting one single first place vote in the media awards. So I want to hear your guys' thoughts on this.
I think that the media values different aspects of players than the coaches do. That would be my only understanding of this. I think some of it is a popularity contest. I was surprised to see that there were six guys on each team. But I think coaches overall value things that the normal watcher or media member doesn't value as much. Kyle Lofton's a guy who, you know, runs, he doesn't ever have games that, I think he scored 30 once, but other than that, I mean, he doesn't really have these scoring explosions. He just runs this methodical offense for 40 minutes, and he's extremely, extremely consistent. He did lead the league in assists this year. And while we were watching the St. Louis game, they showed Dr. G's all A-10 first team, and Kyle Lofton was on that too. And that's kind of a coach and media member now at this point. So I was surprised by that. I didn't think he was going to make first team, especially when you have two guards like Russell and Gilliard in the years they've had. But if you'd have told me there were six guys, maybe I would have said that. But I don't know. That would be my answer. Coaches value consistency and guys who are out there for 40 minutes a game. And he's done this for two full years now and gotten the Bonnies a pretty high seed. And he's just a floor general.
Yeah, as somebody who did vote in your poll, I actually had Kyle Lofton second team, so I'm surprised by this too. Then again, it was only five people, but if I had to put a six, I probably would have put Gilliard in there. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing, like Unfurled said, coaches really appreciate Lofton's ability to facilitate an offense, because there are plenty of times during the season when the offense was getting very stagnant and Lofton would kind of, you know, drive into the paint and dish or set up a perfect opportunity for a pick and roll somewhere. And yeah, I think coaches value that kind of thing more so than maybe some of the analytics might point out.
Yeah, I was pretty surprised to see it, just because he didn't have quite the counting stats that normally bump a guy like that up. But I had him at the back end of my second team, so it's not a huge reach, but there were still a few guys I would have picked ahead of him, especially Grant Golden. I thought he really deserved to be on first team.
By the way, I had Oshuni also on the second team, and he was third team. So the two Bonnies were first and third team, and I had them both second team. So I guess it all evens out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, overall, that was fun, though. Our media poll that we tweeted out, it was pretty similar for the most part. I think Kyle Lofton was the kind of one big discrepancy, but that was
interesting
to see. And
Michael Hughes not making all defense.
Yeah, that was the other big one.
Yeah, that is odd. I feel like also the Atlantic 10 first team didn't have really a true big man. I mean, I know Obi Toppin height-wise is 6'9", but he's a little bit more versatile. They didn't have a real old-school big man like Hassan French, Grant Golden, Trey Mitchell, Marcus Santos Silva. There's so many. I don't know if all those guys split votes, even Oshun. And, usually they do have, you know, that old school pure five man on a first team. And I don't think they had that this year.
No, really not. I mean, Obi plays the five for Dayton, or he did, but you're right. I mean, not like your typical big man that you would expect. So that is kind of interesting. And I was surprised mostly at Golden too. I thought he should have made it, but overall, I really didn't think there was anything too bad. I know with the defense team, that's one of my favorite parts of the awards discussion every year, because people take so much offense to that. And for the Duquesne fans that didn't get Mike Hughes on the defensive team, that was just, I love seeing people complain. And I had a Mason fan too, or a couple Mason fans, that were so upset that I didn't have AJ Wilson on my defensive team, and they just couldn't accept it. And I'm like, look, he was third in the A-10 in blocks, and there were a couple guys ahead of him. I'm not just going to pick the five leaders in those categories. So,
I remember last year, VCU had one of the best defenses in the entire nation.
Mm-hmm.
Just a great team defense, and it got them all the way to a one seed. And they didn't have one guy on the all defensive team, just because they were all really, really good defenders. And I feel like those guys all maybe split votes too.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know about Hughes, but yeah, I don't know if people kind of just look at steals or what.
He doesn't have the same defensive reputation of some of the guys like Ashunahi, French. I threw Cyril Langevin in that group too. And I kind of just figured that with the coaches having such a quick turnaround and possibly just delegating it to them, to their assistants, I said like 2 weeks before Hughes wasn't going to make that team.
Yeah, that's surprising. I think he led the league in a few categories, and I know he was top 15 in the entire conference in blocks, steals, defensive rating, and defensive rebounds, like all those. But I would say he probably got snubbed. I'm not a huge fan of him or Duquesne, so you know, it's true if I'm saying that.
All right, we're going to wrap this podcast up here. We actually spent about another 45 minutes talking with these guys, and it was a hilarious conversation, so don't worry, that won't go to waste. We just wanted to split up the podcasts a little bit, and we'll release the rest of this one sometime in the next couple weeks, probably. But thanks again to Bonna Commenter and SB Unfurled. If you don't already, you should definitely follow them on Twitter, listen to their podcast, SB Unfurled and Friends. Those guys just do a great job. We're not really sure what we're doing the next couple weeks. Obviously, it's a weird situation with the season unfortunately coming to an early end. But if you want to hear more podcasts from us, feel free to send us some suggestions on what you want to hear us talk about. We're welcome to anything because, as I said, we're not really sure what we're doing right now. And again, it's kind of just a weird time for everyone right now. And hopefully this cheered some people up. I know I had a lot of fun recording it, and it kind of put me in a better mood, took my mind off things. And, you know, right now basketball's kind of taking a backseat. So hopefully some people enjoyed this, and we're going to try to keep making some podcasts over the next couple months during the off season. So with that, make sure you follow us on Twitter at 3BidLeaguePod. You can listen to our podcasts on Apple, Spotify, and CastBox, and we'll be back soon.